Hey guys, welcome to episode 149 of the JV Club. Oh my gosh, we're so close to 150. Hey, ask me if I have a special plan for my 150th episode. No, the answer is a resounding no. I don't even know who my next guest is going to be, guys. There's a lot going on. It's been a lot of frenetic travel, but such a great results to that travel, which is just these amazing convention experiences I've been having. I had such a lovely time at HavenCon in Austin, Texas, this last weekend. It was the first year for this LGBTQIA-themed Comic-Con, and it was really just a pleasure and an honor to be a part of something, you know, on its maiden voyage, so major shout-out to that. I want to thank, on Facebook, I want to thank Johnny. I want to thank Louisa. Congratulations. I want to thank Angela for recommending The Girl with All the Gifts, a book I'm very excited to check out. Jessica, I want to make sure to get a shout out to you, young lady. I hope you're enjoying Japan. I want to thank Catherine for her phenomenal email. Adam, so great meeting you at Emerald City. Speaking of Emerald City, I want to thank David Shields. I got to put this photo up on Facebook, and I need to tweet it, but at Shieldscraft is his Twitter handle. He made me one of the most extraordinary things anyone has ever made me, which is a sort of Korra JV Club crossover work of art that I just am so enthralled by and in love with. And I'm going to get that information out for you guys to appreciate and enjoy as well. And again, he's at Shieldscraft on Twitter. I want to thank Cody and Catan and Miller for your wonderful emails. I want to thank Charles, meeting you in Austin. So wonderful. I want to thank Ruth and Shane, my buddies, Ruth and Shane. I've known for years and years and years. I didn't know they listened to my podcast, or maybe I did and I had forgotten, but I just wanted to say hi to them both. And I wanted to wish Shane a happy birthday because I missed his birthday party while I was out of town. I want to thank, finally, Tamara, who I had the pleasure of spending some great time with at the con that I just came from, and to give you that special shout out. And thank you again for just being so incredibly great and strong, and you're a warrior. Okay, guys, I think that is going to do it for this intro. I'm trying to think of the millions of things I'm missing. I hope you enjoy this episode with my friend Natalie. She's got an extraordinary dog rescue program. She's a real multi-talented gal. I've never sounded older. So enjoy that, and I'll talk to you guys soon, okay? Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Okay, first of all, I need to start out by saying that are those, what do we call that style of pants? Like a tuxedo pant? Are they like a, I know it's not a palazzo pant because a palazzo pant has very wide legs, but yeah, there's a more high-waisted trouser.
Yeah, it's a Target sale.
Really?
Trouser.
You're so stylish.
I'm very stylish.
You're like always very stylish.
Bargains.
Yeah, no, really good job.
Thank you.
This is, as you know, this is a bargain hunting podcast. I only talk about where to find the best bargains.
Fantastic.
So I'm glad that we got started with that right off the bat. But you and I share a love of vintage clothing for sure. And that falls into the bargains category too. Is that vintage?
It is vintage. Of course it is. It was my grandmother's.
Oh,
it was in a trunk.
Family heirloom.
Yes, exactly.
Family
it was
heirloom.
In a trunk. She was going to throw out. She's like, "There's just junk in there, not junk."
You know what? There's an expression that I believe is one man's junk is another man's treasure.
Oh, I thought you were going to say junk in the trunk.
One grandmother's
that
junk. Yes. And also she's got junk in the trunk.
She does.
Yeah. She did have junk in the trunk. Mm-hmm. Turns out you like that junk.
I do. Not I like my way. Grandma's junk.
Things
in
are
her
getting
trunk
really confusing really
already.
Fast.
Yep.
Your grandmother still around?
Yes, she is.
That's lovely.
She is. I talked to her yesterday for Easter.
Oh, yes. Easter Sunday. Where is she?
New Mexico.
And most of your family is still in New Mexico.
Yep.
How did you end up? I really am getting right into it. This is maybe the most bullet fast I've ever been like, and how did you end up leaving New Mexico?
We have bullet points.
That's usually, we do have a big chart. Actually, I have a flow chart, which is weird because we haven't done the podcast yet. And the flow chart suggests like activity that's already happened.
Right.
And one of those pie charts too.
Yeah.
And the pie chart is like 50% of it will be teen, but not necessarily front loading 50% of
right.
a team.
Right.
I don't know what's going on.
I like
on.
This breakdown though.
I do need the whole team working on it.
You do.
I definitely
you
need
do.
The whole team working on it.
No, I'm not gonna get into it quite yet about New Mexico, but I am gonna ask you when you got into liking vintage clothing and stuff. If you remember
always.
That.
My last life, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where it was at.
Yeah.
I think forever. My family, I was kind of lucky and unlucky. My grandpa had a lot of affairs, so I had like a zillion grandmas, and I also had a lot of great grandmas that I was able to meet, which was fantastic.
Wow.
So kind of growing up, I always just like went through their shit.
When you say that he had affairs, that you had, oh, no, you can curse.
Okay.
When you say that he had affairs, do you, like, how were they being introduced as grandmas if they were not, like girlfriends on the side?
No, he literally had like a family that my mom hears this, she's probably going to correct me, but he had another family where he left my grandma and then did get married to this woman he was having an affair with. And then later, my mom was like at high school and saw her dad picking some random kid up. And so went out there and it happened to be the exact same age as her. And there was three of them and she had three of her siblings. So he literally, before he left my grandma, already had these other families, which was crazy. And so now I grew up with them. Once I came along, I didn't know any of this. I just knew them as my other uncles.
Right.
So then he was remarried to my grandma Jeannie. So I was raised with her. But then my real grandma, who then was remarried at that point. So on my mom's side, I already had like two sets of different.
Oh my God, that's pretty interesting.
But then all of their parents were alive. So I got to know my great grandparents on both
sides.
Holy
smokes. Did everyone have kids early then?
No, not really.
I don't even know. I can't do the math on that, but I certainly didn't know my great grandparents would have been way too old for me to know them.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think all like normal 50s age, like 1950s age, like 20s, mid 20s probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have. Like, did you feel a closeness to any of those people that was like closer than even your own flesh and blood? What about, it sounds very dramatic.
No, not really. I mean, they were just so like, young. So even when my grandpa died, I was like 4. And then my grandma Jeannie died, I was probably like 10.
Yeah.
So I didn't spend that much time. She was more like, she babysat me for a few hours on a day. But then my real grandparents would like pick me up from school and like help out in that way.
Gotcha.
So I knew who my real, like I felt a different connection
for
sure. But, yeah, but I was lucky. So therefore, I was able to. And then my grandpa had a lot of sisters. So all of those were like my great aunts. So I was able to basically just raided their closets all the time.
Yeah.
And I asked everybody. So that's kind of how it started. And then I just knew because of that, they all knew that I was interested in vintage clothing. So it became like they'd call me up and say, oh, my friend down the street, Marble Ann, died. So you want to go through all her things. And so I don't know who Marble Ann is.
That's
but
so dark.
Basically.
That's
amazing. It was pretty good. And then I actually did get a little, this is a little creepy, people, but I used to actually sit with my grandma in the mornings and look at the estate sales.
Sure.
And figure out who they were. But then I would look at their obituary and see if I can find them. Because if they were like 90 plus, I knew when their prime age was.
Oh,
so if
man.
It was like 50s, 60s, then I'm there, right?
Right,
like if you,
right.
If you're like, you know, if you died at like 60, that's A, tragic, but you're not going to be collecting anything, right? The stuff isn't going to be the stuff I like. Like, I'm not going to go to estate sale now where everything's 80s.
I know.
Right?
It's all logical.
It's logical.
It makes sense. And it's once you've sort of gone down that road, have you seen, what is that movie that it was fantastic because it was Nicole Holofcener, who is someone that I really, first of all, don't know how to say her last name because no one ever says it because they're all afraid of saying it too.
Right.
But I love her as a filmmaker and I would love to one day have her on the podcast. But the one that just came out that wasn't not that long ago with Catherine Keener and Oliver Platt, they play people who own a sort of antique, modern vintage store.
No,
you
I
should see
seen
it because it kind of asks. I can't believe I'm blanking on this. I keep wanting to say like, oh God, I'm so sorry, guys. This is the worst trick and like game to play when you have listeners in live time who are not. This is not live, but people who are like able to hear it and go, why aren't you? It's this. It's this.
Right.
Anyway, they sort of. They have this conflicted relationship with an older neighbor who's basically agreed to like sell them her apartment when she dies. So they're sort of waiting for her to die.
Aww.
But they also do a lot of estate sale stuff where they have, you know, their business is to sell things that they know are of value to like designers and stuff. And so they're going through people's homes after they've passed away. And and so it's sort of the movie is partially exploring, you know, kind of like that relationship to death and starting to have this questioning feeling about like, am I benefiting, like in what way, like am I waiting for someone to die so that I can benefit from getting
totally
their stuff?
And it is such a weird feeling because now I'm becoming this thing where
I mean, I'm definitely not a hoarder, but I have these issues where if it was family stuff or even some nice old person, like when I go into an estate sale and you can tell the designers already picked it through and there's these little pieces that are left over that maybe aren't really valuable, but they're just really neat looking. I just try to think like this person at some point in their life bought this for whatever reason and now they're dead and we know nothing about them. I don't know their story. Their family didn't take it.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know them, I feel like I somehow need to like...
Be the guardian of
be the guardian of this.
Because, intention. Yeah. And the emotion
there was
and
this
the...
story with it. And
yeah.
But then what do I do? Suddenly in, what, 80 years, knock on wood, somebody's going to be going through my house and being like this weird old hoarder.
Yeah.
You know, and taking all my stuff.
It's I just quickly did the math on how long you want to live, and I'm pretty astonished.
Knock on wood. Well, that's, I'm 29 now. So,
yeah.
Like almost 100, right? Yeah.
But like 29 plus 80, isn't that like 110? Like 30 plus 80.
Yep, never mind. Well, my great grandma just passed away.
It can happen.
She just passed away at 107.
It can happen.
So
oh my God.
I'm
it really
knocking,
can happen.
I'm going to go
107.
Above her. Yeah, she did.
That's crazy.
I have a lot of her things as well.
That's. Well, did you have that? I mean, when I was a kid, I feel like I didn't have a real sense of what even dying meant on any kind of like a real level. So that's kind of an interesting way to get to know it too, is a sort of like. Through someone's stuff, because when you're a kid, it doesn't mean the same because you can't understand mortality at all in a way that, you know, I feel you only understand mortality in newer and newer ways as you get closer to dying. And so when you're little, it's just like, oh, this person just isn't around.
Right. Yeah.
And this is like, it's just a weird non idea. I
always thought
of
it as like, I guess I did think that I knew that they died, but there was always like, I like to think what they were thinking at their time of my life. You know what I mean? Like one of my great grandmas, I had her diary, which wasn't really like what you think of, like in like, you know, like movie
just
sets.
Like, today we had blah, blah, blah
basically.
For dinner. Yeah.
But I still was like, you know, I mean, in every part of life and every generation, centuries go by, no matter who these people are, and then they die. It's just crazy to me to think that when this person was like 28, 29, the same place as I was, they had emotions, they had all of these things that would happen in a normal life. And just because it was a different time and era, they still dealt with it the same, but there wasn't the same kind of resources maybe. But
sure,
so it's so
absolutely.
That has always been interesting to me. So even then, like reading her diary then and just picturing her, obviously when you're little, 23 seemed really old. And so you're thinking of her being like, wow, she's this 23-year-old woman and has a kid and is just writing about going to get spam today. But it just but it somehow, to me, it made me give that picture, which was a lot better. So I did, So I got that they were dead, but it was, I just like to, I guess, relive their story to like keep them alive almost.
I know. Because, I think that makes sense.
You know,
I mean, I think, I think that makes sense. And I also think it's interesting that you had all of those elders kind of around you too, because some people don't have the presence of that as much either.
Yeah. I felt really lucky.
You know, you're kind of fleshing it all out in a really specific and unique way.
Yeah.
And so you sort of held on to that and then, I guess that's true. Because I was trying to think of my interest in vintage, like how much of it goes into the sort of stories of where the stuff comes from. But it is hard to be interested or like to love wearing a dress from the 50s or the 60s and just not think about it at all.
Right.
Like not think what that means at all.
No, I sometimes, I still
kind of
when
will.
I have so many clothes I wear, I sometimes think when I'm wearing them, I used to actually like have this movie idea, you know, like, or a thought in my own head being like a young imaginative kid, but being like, you know, what if I wear this dress, I'm going to have the same thing happened to me that this other woman had.
That's a
right
great
but
idea.
You don't know, I'm like laughing in this dress, I'm like at a party or whatever, did another woman have that, or was she running and crying because she just saw her boyfriend make out with someone, or like whatever, like I don't know.
No, so I think that the idea of energy and on objects is really fascinating, and it's also kind of a way out of, I mean, I don't know if it's like me trying to excuse my, you know, consumerism, but I know that I always feel better about buying something that's already in existence. I don't feel like it just got freshly made.
Yeah.
Knowing that it is a sort of a recycling of a kind
too. Yeah.
And that I do feel, it's not necessarily that I'm going to pick up a brooch and be like, I feel a real energy about this. Like I'm not at all.
Yeah.
But that, that it is a way of touching base with like what came before you in a really specific way. And I'm totally on board for that.
Or just that the clothes are that much older than you, thinking that some 20 something year old already wore this dress once before me 40 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just like, what?
I know. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Now I can get back into New Mexico now that I've talked about clothes for 10 minutes.
Great.
But I really could talk about it for probably even longer. Oh, and by the way, I think I just talked about this on a recent episode. I'm very embarrassed by it. But I, one of like one of my sort of like dreams I hate waking up from, and I bet you have this too, is I'll very occasionally I'll have a dream that I walk into like a Goodwill or a vintage store, and there's just like everything is like a dollar, and it's just the most beautiful, great stuff you've ever seen. And you're like, what do I
right.
I'm buying all of this. I have to take possession of all of this.
Totally.
You ever had that dream?
I have. Mine isn't ever a dollar. It's more like the anxiety of I have to get the things before anyone else does.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's generally like some teeny store, like in an alley or something yeah. that I just came upon and no one else is so in there. Funny. And I'm like, does anyone know about the store?
Yes.
I can't tell anybody.
Yes.
I've got to like get everything right now. Who's the owner? And then, but it's always ends up being anxiety. And then when I wake up, I'm like, oh, that's right. Cause the rest yeah. of my real life is stressful right,
right
now. So
right.
it just went into that.
Right.
Yeah. Good times.
I'm going to take that and use that also, that it's because I'm really having an anxiety dream about stuff that's deeper and more important than finding a lot of really great vintage stuff.
That's totally what it is.
I'll accept that and I approve, and I like that answer. Okay, so where in New Mexico?
Albuquerque.
I feel that that's a sister city to Tucson. I have this like,
maybe.
I don't know that Tucson feels that way or that Albuquerque feels that way, but because my dad traveled so much and wrote ghost town books and stuff, and I spent a lot of time in New Mexico, to me it was always like, oh, Albuquerque's like sort of adjacent to Tucson,
right,
around the same size, and also seemed to kind of have the same interest in preserving culture, and like a certain, there was a, like a liberal bent to it that yeah. you don't necessarily see in the rest of Arizona.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know much about Tucson. All I know
it's
is
really okay.
New Mexicans don't like to be compared. Totally different state. We don't care.
New Mexicans don't like to be compared to anyone
no.
else. Yeah.
Or to Arizona, especially.
More of a, especially to Arizona?
Yeah, basically.
Interesting.
It's just the other
I don't know if Arizona feels
desert.
That way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I wonder if it's, I'm always fascinated, we've talked about it on the podcast before, with rivalries that are only on one side, like the way San Francisco feels about Los Angeles,
right,
is the way San Diego feels about Los Angeles, is the way Phoenix
right.
and like Tucson feels about Phoenix,
right?
I don't know, and if it's the way that New Mexico feels about Arizona, that makes me
interesting.
Laugh.
Interesting, yeah. It is.
I mean, they are.
I think it's
on
more
four corners
my
together.
Thing is like with people who don't really know geography. Like,
oh yeah,
it's happened
so
a lot
they think
of times.
One is the same as the
yeah,
other.
Yeah, they're always like Santa Fe. That's in Arizona, right?
Or they do.
Think, some people
what
I've had that happen.
Fools. I believe it.
Fools, right? But
yeah.
then also, there's just the two desert states that are like right there, so
yeah.
people get them confused a lot, and
yeah,
so
yeah.
I get really upset because I'm like, we're a blue state. We're not
well,
a Republican state.
Fair.
We don't
that's
have these gun laws, like all of that.
That's very fair.
You can't confuse us.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
It's insane.
Absolutely right. Because
so Tucson
is
liberal,
very liberal. Like
different.
Tucson is the liberal, is
right.
the blue,
right.
is
little
the blue
area.
Inside that red state.
Right.
And
but
so that's probably why
as...
they like feel maybe a kinship towards New Mexico.
Right.
That would make sense.
Sure, it's a great place if you live there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It isn't as isn't.
Yeah.
Is isn't as isn't. A lot of Z's in there. A lot of Z's in there. And so were your, did you come from a liberal family?
Yeah.
Or your parents, what are your parents like? And do you have siblings?
No, I'm the only child. I've got step.
Oh, you have step, okay.
I have step siblings, but they're all older than me, so I didn't really grow up with them. My dad got remarried when I was like 5,
mm-hmm.
But she already had kids, so they were like in high school at the time, so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how age difference we are, and they have, so yeah, I'm not really close with them at all, so I basically am the only child, and people generally say when I say that, they're always like, oh, makes sense.
That's
which
what
I
they
don't
say
ever
about
know,
me,
because right?
I'm also an only child.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do know I don't like it. My best friend just told me recently, she has a 3-year-old, and we were discussing if she's going to have any more kids and like the whole thing, and her husband or her boyfriend doesn't want any more, and she kind of does, and she kind of said to me, and I know she didn't mean it insulting. She was
I know we were going with this and I'm already excited
about
it. She was
like, we were having wine and so we were just like talking and she's like, you know, I just, since I grew up with a sister and since I've known you since 6th grade, Natalie, she's like, I just don't want Ellie to grow up like you. And I was like, wait, what?
That's so horrible.
And she's like, no, not like that. I just remember you not sharing and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I still don't share.
That's so crazy.
That's okay.
Oh,
and it is
no.
interesting to see. I can see
yeah.
Ellie. I like watched her the other day and she's 3 and she's totally already doing that. You know, like I'm like, okay, this little baby doll, let's name it so-and-so. And she's like, no. No, its name is blah blah blah.
You
know, and I'm like,
are we sure that that's not just something that children go through? Because they don't want to share with their siblings either.
But just even seeing her like on the playground
oh, no.
and stuff, it's just a different. And it did remind me of me. I was very leader. I was
I
very
know,
like
I, was too.
I had like the control. Like I had my own mind, and that's how it was because that's what I did at home.
Yeah.
So if someone new came into it, I didn't really
I
understand being like, yeah, let's do that. I was
yeah.
more like, no, we're doing this. So
oh boy,
yeah.
And what did you say when she said? Were you like,
I just laughed. Yeah, I just laughed because I knew what she meant. I think she like immediately was like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, no, totally, it's fine. Because I do know.
You guys are still friends. You can't be that
yeah,
horrible.
No. And I do know how I am. I'm still like that.
But
kidding?
Do you feel like, because I also have this conversation with other people. It's like, you only know what your experience was too. And yeah. if you turned out okay, but I can't, that's not fair, because I feel like I have friends who were only children who wanted to have a bunch of kids because they were only children. I have friends who had a bunch of brothers and sisters and kind of only wanted one kid. Right. I feel like I've never thought about having, I mean, not to say like I'm focused on having even one, but I've never thought about having more than one kid. Like right. in my mind, that's what you do.
Right.
You have one kid.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And I guess my argument would just be like, well, I'm fine. But I guess maybe what I'm really saying is like, I mean, I never had to share. It's right. terrible.
It has. Well, and I think, again, you're right. It's our own
sharing
experience.
Person, you know? I mean, it's not like you're...
Right, yeah, no. But it, I still, I have little things that I can tell that are in me.
I know I do, too.
That just like, if I just buy something so silly that like I buy something new that's like I'm really looking forward to, like a... like tea or I don't know, something that's like my yeah. tea. And yes. then someone opens it before, once it's opened and I've opened it,
yeah.
you can have some.
Yeah.
But I bought it and I want it
I get
first.
It. I think I struggled with that with roommates it. Even. Yeah, yeah. That I felt very, because I'd never lived with anyone my age.
Right.
I felt this sense of like proprietary,
totally.
Almost like protection. Like oh, it yeah. felt more primitive than,
yeah.
than selfish in a weird way. It
absolutely.
Feels like you're like, I don't know. Listen, this is my food. I got it.
Totally.
You know?
And, which is funny because to me, that's how it feels. But I feel like outside people, it's like, no, that's selfish. But
yeah,
to me,
I know,
I'm like, no, it's primitive. What do you mean? I need to do this
terrible.
To survive.
I know. Oh boy, it's really nice to commiserate on this stuff with someone.
It is.
Okay, so only child. And what did your parents do?
My dad.
And your dad, your parents split when you were...
Yeah, they split when I was like three.
Yeah,
but I grew
same,
up with both
same
of them.
With me.
Oh, nice. Look yeah. at us.
I know.
Selfish,
I never had any...
divorced
there was
children.
No remarriages, so there or okay. new marriages, so there was no steps for me, but
right.
obviously there barely were for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there barely was for me.
So it's like, yeah, then it becomes kind of a one-on-one or
totally.
Like a, you know...
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, my mom worked for the telephone company.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And my dad worked for the post office for a while. He was a mailman, which I used mm-hmm. to love because take your daughter to work day was awesome.
Ooh, yeah. yeah.
But then he ended up starting his own sign business, which is he's doing now. It's basically like he owns all those like bucket trucks and they go and put up high signs and stuff, which is actually
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
for vintage picking is amazing because he does all the signs on old Route 66 in New Mexico.
Oh,
so
wow.
he takes down old motel signs and just like saves them for me, which
that's
is
really cool.
becoming an issue because I can't get
yeah,
them here really
go?
Easily.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like in my mom's garage.
Yeah.
But we've been discussing getting a space because now I have these letters that are like 4 feet high. They're like these vintage 60s letters that I can't remember what they spell. Some like weird Chelsea's Closet. I don't know. Some weird store. But, you know, all these cool old signs and stuff. Some are porcelain. Some are...
What do you
do
want
to
do with them long term? What's the plan?
I mean,
if
resell
there is
them
one.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I would love to, like, even with vintage stuff, I've been wanting to do something with, like, props or something, especially
mm-hmm,
now that there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of movies being filmed out there. Because
yeah.
I see, you know how it is. You go into a place like that. Like, when I was just in Albuquerque a few weeks ago, and there were so many clothes and so many little items like that, that I'm like, if I got had some a place in L.A., it would resell for, like, triple the price. But...
that
where
does
am
it kind
I
of feels like
it?
It's that in my mind too it's sort of that sort of feels like an alternate universe career that I
totally.
Went into Ugh, somewhere
I would love it let's start
yeah.
it here
I
we
mean,
go
I know
Janet and Natalie's closet you guys
we have a lot of the same hobbies
we
there's
really
no
do.
Question about that we're supposed to be in a band together but now you are in a band
oh I got
ish
I got kicked out
what oh no wait talk to me about this
I don't know if I should talk about it
all right
because it's gonna make me sound like a really bad person.
I mean, you're just... I
not
just
a bad person. Let me
not.
Try to say it in a good way. And if it's comes out bad, then...
I'll just edit it.
Yeah,
I edit
fine.
It right
it's
out.
It's fine. Yeah. So no. So the whole purpose of the band, this woman's amazing. She actually is married to a guy I went to elementary and high school with, and they just moved here. And she's been in a lot of amazing bands. And she's obviously, she's straight, and she's but very, very politically active
mm-hmm.
and very like feminist and that whole thing. And I, of course, I'm a feminist, of course, all those things, but she's just really radical with it and very active in it. So
mm-hmm.
she's written a lot of songs in the past and had a lot of bands. And so since she just moved here, she was like, I've written these songs and I really just want to like do a collaboration and like have women kind of join it and do like a whole thing. And so she asked me and I was like, sure, great, yeah. And it was kind of my fault because she did send along like all of these stories that she wanted the band to be kind of like, but
yep.
I'm the worst. And so if I see a political thesis come across my email, I'm like, next. Like,
uh-huh.
I just didn't. I was like, it'll be fun. It'll be creative
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
So I went to a few of the practices. I liked the songs. It was fun to harmonize and do all that. And then they were like, yeah, since it's a collaborative, if you want to bring other songs, we totally can. But I didn't realize it had to fit the exact format. So
right.
I was just like, all the 60 songs I want to do, Nancy
sure.
Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood, let's like bam this out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they finally were like, do you get like that this is the like purpose. A feminist.
There's a stronger purpose.
Yeah, there's a stronger purpose. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm a woman and excited. And then it started being like they really wanted it. They were thinking of it as like a Toon Yards or Sleater-Kinney, like a girl activist punk. Right. And that's fantastic. And that's great. And I respect that.
Yeah.
But like, I just realized during my path of it, it's like, that's not really where my passion is right now.
No,
and
I totally understand that. And you're, and that to me speaks to, I think it's first of all, I don't want to have to edit that out because you don't come off like a bad person at all. But second of all, I mean, I also know all the wonderful things you're doing that we're going to get into anyway, but I feel like I've had experiences like that too. And part of it is where you pour your passions in and what is frustrating and upsetting about life and what platforms you use
right.
to sort of express that and where that time and energy goes.
Yeah.
And I know what your life is like outside of that. Yeah. And I can't imagine introducing that.
Right. And I think that was
everything
it. For
else.
Me, I it's thought, cool, I'm going to have a creative outlet right now.
Something
right.
fun,
totally.
Something, a way to unwind,
totally.
A way to bond with your fellow women and
right.
have a great time
right.
and be feminist, but not be
right.
forceful about it in
exactly.
that context.
Exactly. And then it started being like, they want to do all these different outings. And I was like,
and I'm
yeah,
so glad they're going to do all
me
that.
Me too. And
I'm
I was like,
so glad they're going to do all
but
that.
But then, of course, I just was
that.
Faced like feeling really guilty because I'm like, just because I'm like, now I feel like I'm not part of, you know, I think I said something where I'm just like, you know, I did all that. I was like at protests, part of my life. I did that.
Yeah, yeah,
but then
yeah.
I got the email that was like, you're not just an activist at a part of your life. You're always an activist in this and that. I'm like, you're right. But my activism yes. now is for animals. And so I yeah. respect that you guys do that. But yeah. like,
we have to pick our,
we have to pick and choose.
And that is a battle.
Yeah,
and that, and that's very difficult. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but those moments where you sort of have to understand, what's going to make me a better human being on the whole.
Right.
And it, and I think for most people who choose to stay in the United States because, and even if they're working for nonprofits, even somebody who works for a nonprofit full time,
yeah.
who's not getting paid enough and should be paid more because they're working for a nonprofit, whatever that infrastructure is like,
right.
that person is not going to be the person who says like, and also in my free time, I belong to these three other activism groups.
Right.
And basically what I do 24/7
right.
is fight the power.
Right. Yeah.
That person is like, oh no, I were, I mean, I'm not that person, but like
right.
my guess would be that and friends of mine who do it are like, oh yes, I do that. And then I have to go to the movies and
right.
just be a human who's laughing at something.
Totally.
Or I
totally.
Can't recharge
right.
to be the person that needs to be sitting
yeah.
at that desk dealing with those issues.
Right. Exactly.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It
and
is hard.
And
yeah.
it's exciting when you see people get excited about their cause and they've found this great way to do it in a way that
right.
feels fun for them and
right.
also very important.
Totally.
And it's really okay
yeah.
for you to, you know, to,
yeah.
to step back and say this is
absolutely
this
yeah
is,
and they were supportive and everything, so when
fun,
I say
yeah.
kicked out, I don't mean they
yeah,
were like
yeah,
get
yeah.
out of here, but
sometimes
you know we had
a
big
fit.
Conversation.
Well, it's like a relationship, right?
Totally.
It's like it doesn't mean that you guys don't
right.
love and respect each other,
right.
it's just not the
yeah, for sure.
exact right fit for anybody.
Yeah, so I am a little bummed
sense.
out, because I was looking forward to having something creative during the week that I could like really
yeah.
pour into it, so hopefully
yeah.
our band will start soon.
I know, we got to get it up
if you're ever in
running
ever.
Yeah, that's been a problem. It just kind of stalls out a lot of stuff. But were you very musical when you were younger too? When did you like, did you just always like to sing and stuff?
I just always liked to sing. Yeah, I mean, I never really learned an instrument or anything, but yeah, I mean, I was in like our, you know, like middle school bands and stuff like that. And I used to see, actually, that's what's so funny is the woman who's in this band now, her husband and I had a band in middle school that went
oh.
for like 5 years, and we like played it like little, it was like a jazz band.
I mean,
and
that's super cool.
We played a lot of Van Morrison covers at like restaurants, and we were like, you know, 13.
That's
which,
so fun.
Looking back at it, we thought we were so awesome, but
yeah.
really, it was basically all of our parents coming to eat at the restaurants and support us, right? It was not like, so I'm sure now as an adult, if I saw a 13-year-old little band at a restaurant, when you'd be, oh, they're so cute.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I remember seeing adults saying that in the audience, which just make you feel really embarrassed.
Sure,
you know, at the
sure.
time.
You're like, why aren't you taking me seriously?
Right.
This is not a cute situation.
But now I get it.
Singing.
Yeah. But now I get it. I mean, I would do that too. I'd be like, oh, how cute are they?
But
bringing
again,
in their instruments. And
again, it's like, I still like this idea. I just belched, guys. I am drinking some slightly carbonated beverage. So don't worry. I'm going to get him in. I'll get him in. But this, again, it's like, you know, now we're talking about like the arts of this era that you also love the kind of clothes and belongings for.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, it just had such a huge influence on you so early. It's
yeah.
so interesting. I don't know a lot of kids that age who were or are into music that dates back to decades before them.
Yeah, I know.
It's really specific.
I still have that problem. I actually was just playing Heads Up the other day, which I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, someone was just telling me about Heads Up, and I was like, is that like Heads Up 7 Up
that
you play in school?
See,
what's Heads Up? Is it the same?
No. So it's basically just like an app on your phone, and you can do like different kinds of decks, I guess. And so it's almost like, you know, that game where I can't think of what it's called. It's on TV. But, you know, so like I have this thing and you're trying to get me to guess it without saying the word.
Right.
So there are like songs you can hum. There's like different categories.
Okay.
But there's one that's basically just like current stuff. And like I was with a whole bunch of people who were my age to even older, like 25 to 35 year olds. And I'm 29. I had no clue what they were saying. I mean, it was a lot of like Katy Perry stuff and this and that. And I was just like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Uh-huh, and like movie references. And I was just like, I don't know. And then the 70s one, I like killed it, but they didn't know it. So it's like, I couldn't play. So I've always had that struggle
because so
I keep thinking the older I get, will people feel like what I like? But I guess not, because they're still in this generation, right? So they're going to keep, like, I just don't even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, I think that's so great.
It is, but it's,
I mean,
hard
it's
to find
for
people,
me, right?
To,
but now I'm turning you into like a character where I'm like, I love the character of you who doesn't know, you know, who doesn't know the
I like
I
it, but it is hard.
I'm very bad about contemporary stuff too, right? But I guess I feel like I wouldn't ever be as good as you at what you know.
Maybe.
And I don't really know a lot of contemporary stuff. So there's just a weird, I would just be kind of okay at like anything from the 60s through now, if there were like indie bands now kind
totally.
Of thing.
Yeah.
But that's about it. You
it's
know,
always
I
been a struggle though, because I've never been able to find anyone that's just, and I always say that, I'm like, there's got to be somebody else out there who likes like the same music I like and references and that isn't 60.
Right. Right.
You know, and I'm still looking. If you're out there, even if you're 15.
I know. They are out there.
I'll be your
There's
older
no
friend.
No question in my mind that they're out there. You know who you would get along with is my friend Gray Delisle, who's also a
What's
phenomenal
her name?
Singer. Her name's Gray Delisle.
Gray Delisle, okay.
And she's on the podcast. I think she would be a good fit for you.
Yeah.
She's older than you for sure, but boy, she really lives with a lot of those same things. Like she loves and lives with a lot of those same era stuff. I like this. This is a good
we should
friend
totally
date.
We can have a
I don't ever get
beverage.
To see you enough. What am I going to do? Hook you up with someone and then be jealous that you guys are hanging out?
You don't
out?
See
no,
her
I don't
either,
care
for I'm
it.
Sure. So
I don't.
There we go.
I don't care for it. I don't like where this is going. Okay. And so when you were younger too, so even when you're younger, I mean, obviously you found a band that wanted to play Van Morrison songs, which is a huge success in junior high, and to do it all the way through 5 years through, is pretty phenomenal. What was that music that your family kind of got you into? Like, how did you, was that not unlike
actually,
the,
I don't know. I used to just really be, I mean, this was like most of the time this was before, this was way before the internet. So I remember when I was like 15 and I first started driving kind of a thing. Like, well, I guess that was obviously 13 came before. How did I get into Van Morrison before that? I think it was honestly just kind of the band teacher was like pitching songs that were like kind of easy to learn. So Moondance was pretty easy. And there was like, you know, we played a Chicago song, which was pretty easy. And then we just took that on our own and they just taught themselves basically. And I just learned the lyrics. It wasn't like, for me, I can't read music. I don't know how to do any of that. Mm-hmm. So I left it to the band people. But, you know, I remember, I think even 14, when I got my like permit, driving permit, I would like hear, I always only listened to the oldies stations, and I would hear a song and I would put my tape in and press record on the thing, and then I would take the tape to this one place that I just looked it up in the phone book, and it was called Crazy Cat Records with K, Crazy K,
of course,
Cat K,
of course,
Records. And I like would drive up there, and it was like a mission to me. Like I, you know, before Google Maps or anything, like I had my little map written out. I was like very organized, and I had like my $10, and I went and like asked the person, like, "Can you listen to this? Who is it?" And
that
then I just kept
so
learning
cool.
that way. And my dad, like, you know, my dad didn't necessarily. He really likes like Doobie Brothers and like Fleetwood Mac and stuff, like, which I super love, absolutely.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff I didn't really know that was probably when he was more like in middle school, like that I really liked.
Yeah,
I would just like ask him. I'd call him and be like, sing the riff of it, and he would be like, yeah, that's this. And so
that's
I'd write
so
it down
funny.
And like I did that since I was probably like 8, you know, or 7. I remember loving Happy Together by the Turtles, but I didn't know who sang it, obviously, and I just remember I heard it in like my mom's friend's car, and I just remembered like, keep that in your head, keep that in your head. And I was probably like 7 or something, but like I really wanted to know who it was. So when I got home, I remember being
this.
Like, he's like da 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 da, like I was trying to, and like
so
she didn't know it, and like finally I had to like, I kept asking people until they were like, is it Happy Together by the Turtles? So right then I remembered it, you know. And then I just, so then over the time I just kind of started looking into more of that, like, so here's this song by the Turtles, what else do they sing?
Sure.
And then just kind of exploring that, and then it led me to, you know, as you do, as of course with music. But
and so when, so I feel like high school, especially for me, was really a time when I was spending so much time with friends mm-hmm. that even if I wasn't seeking out music, I was still going to be exposed to all of their music. You know, I mean, I remember my friend Sarah, who was one of my very best friends in high school. Like I heard more Pearl Jam and REM, you know, than I ever would have ever heard or cared about. Like, all due respect to those fantastic bands,
right?
But I just heard them because I was always in her car with her,
totally.
And she loved those two bands. And so, so I'm wondering for you if like you were if high school was a time when you were still exposed to a lot of other music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like some of my friends, like also my friend when you said Sarah, I was thinking of my best friend Sarah, mm-hmm. And she like Dave Matthews was her thing. So no matter how many times we drove in her car, and we would take like road trips to Santa Fe on the weekends, like Dave Matthews. And of course, I liked all that. And of course, when you grow up some in an age that you grow up at any, you're going to hear that kind of music at parties and all of that.
Yeah.
So of course, it is like I. Not knowing current stuff now, but if you played like a rap song from 2002, I'm gonna know it because I went to high school and any dance, that's what you have, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and I can still have an appreciation for that. Like I like it when that kind of stuff comes on, and you know all the rap words to a Missy Elliott song, and it's like, but what
I guys, I got this.
Yeah,
I got this.
You guys,
Katie, who
I'm gonna twerk it. Twerk it. Yeah.
What was your high school like?
Good. It was pretty ghetto. I mean, it's Albuquerque. So, it's like right on the border. It was Albuquerque High. And it was kind of on the border of like a really Latin neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like, and like straight, like Mexican neighborhood, like a lot of kids didn't speak English. So it was like a very, it's probably, I would say, I don't know, 60% Hispanic.
What's your cultural background, by the way? I mean, obviously, that seems like a question to ask.
Spanish, French, German. And I think a little Native American. I just asked my grandma this last time, and she like that was the first I've heard of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found some picture of my grandma's father's parents. So my great great grandparents, and he looks like a total little like Mexican dude like in the backyard, and he's with this woman who I swear has an eye patch on, but my grandma keeps saying it's just the way it was printed. And I'm like, no, she's got a cotton swab on her eye, and like clearly these people didn't have a lot of money, so I'm like the one picture she gets, she's like, great, I've got pink eye, let me throw this patch on. But so I was asking about them, and she was like, oh well, she was part Native American, and I was like, well, that's the first I've heard of that. But yeah, but we can trace like descents from Spain. There's a lot of New Mexicans who came from Spain like 200, 300 years ago, and they've been there. But let's be real, the Spaniards came in, they raped some Indians, like it'd be impossible if I didn't have any Native American.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I have a little Mexican, but what we can trace is the German is pretty big and Spanish is pretty big. So
did people being you growing up in Albuquerque and having the last name Garcia, did people assume that you were Mexican?
No.
No one ever,
because our
that.
Family was, we're a pretty big family in New Mexico. We own a lot of restaurants called Garcia's Kitchen.
I see.
Really famous and old school.
I see. Well, that is not what you described either of your parents doing. So I guess I didn't.
Yeah,
I
it was
have
my grandparents' family and all
gotcha.
That. So that's kind of like the bigger family tree. So yeah, my parents didn't do that. But but you know, I think that's it. Any town you're from, especially like that kind of like specific culture, we really have been there for like 200 years, but a lot of families have there and a lot of them came a long time ago. So everyone knows everyone. And so it's just, you know, I mean, you know how it is. Your grandparents know other kids' grandparents because they went to high school together.
Yeah,
but
I don't know what that's like. So I'm interested in that because my family did not. Neither of my families. My mom's family was Marines. So they lived all over.
Right.
And then my dad's family left the Chicago area while my dad was a teenager. I guess a teenager and moved to Arizona. So there's no there's no sort of like grandparents, no grandparents, like everybody. I definitely did not have the experience of like everyone's been in this one place for long enough that they kind of all know each other.
Right.
Not at all.
Right. Which and is it's a good thing and a bad thing. Like I enjoyed it growing up, but then now going back, it's like you see so many people, which is okay. But you know, I mean, even my grandma talking to her yesterday, she randomly brought up something about how she runs into people still from like high school. And since she was like, I mean, she was really pretty. And so she was just like, I ran into this lady and she was like so rude to me at the store. I said hi to her and she was so rude to me and she was rude to me in high school. I guess she just doesn't like me. I'm like, I don't know if you know, but you're 84.
Yeah.
So you would think maybe it would be okay. And she's like, oh no, the girls were so mean to me. And I was like, why?
My.
And she's like, because I got your grandpa. I was really popular with the boys, but not with the girls. But so it's still that small
there
that you see those people. And it's always, you know, like you'll hear like, oh, so-and-so's grandma worked with my cousin 30 years ago, but now you're still connected. So a lot of them are just really old New Mexican families who've been there for centuries.
And well, and isn't that, as somebody who left there and coming back to that culture, I mean, part of what's so, I'm certainly very interested in people who make the decision to stay in the same place that they grew up.
Me too, yeah.
And I think there's something, like you said, there's great stuff about that that I envy, and there's stuff about that that I don't envy at all. Yeah, second burp, guys, if you're counting. If you're playing a drinking game of how many times I burp, you're going to be
don't
very drunk
drink,
probably
kids.
By the end of this. Oh, yeah, that's for the adults, by the way. I love the sort of opportunity to not be the person, not be assumed and treated, because I do believe in this sort of like you also behave as you're expected to behave the way other people treat you.
Right.
That's very – it's the social structure of us as a species is very tricky.
Totally.
And so I think if you kind of are known in a certain way up to a certain point, like – how much of that it becomes the sort of Ouroboros, I don't even know if I said that right, but the snake in its tail, where you're behaving this way because other people expect you to behave that way, thus they treat you that way.
Right.
And do you get a chance to kind of reinvent yourself, or do you get a chance to sort of grow out beyond a certain point? Because when I go, you know, home and see my family, I feel myself kind of reverting into, for better or for worse,
absolutely,
this person that they know me as.
Right.
And it's not so different from who I am, but certainly there's elements of it that
I think it also depends on like, absolutely, I completely agree with you, but I think even like with what I do is not that complicated. I'm an animal rescuer, but sometimes because I live in LA, like unless it's somebody who's like super hip on the groove and they're my age, they'll understand references and stuff. But like my grandparents or even my mom or my dad or my aunts, like I don't feel like they're not hip, but they don't even know how to talk to me about stuff that I'm doing because they don't understand it. So basically when I go home, I'm suddenly not me, LA Natalie,
which is a huge piece of
me, but it just becomes me just having small conversations like about the weather or about my grandma seeing somebody at the store. And so it's not about like, oh, like whenever they ask me what I'm doing, if I really go into it and talk for like 5 minutes about it, it's just kind of silent and they don't really understand. And so I'm like, well, never mind, which sucks, because then you do. It's like, I don't want to not tell them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how do you, and they don't even really know what questions to ask. So then it just becomes, so I become like, I feel like I'm 15-year-old Natalie back at town and just kind of me still, and which is nice, but then I feel stuck anytime I go home.
Sure.
I start feeling like I need to do something.
That's
I need to be motivated.
At,
I need to go home.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting that. I'm getting at that. I feel like I wouldn't be the person that I am if I hadn't lived in these different places and kind of had these different experiences and let in certain things that needed to come in, even the stuff that was hard and scary.
I was going to say that. New. I think that's incredibly important. Any young person I meet, or any like my cousins or something that like are ready to graduate college or they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Whenever they're just like, yeah, I'm just going to go to like New Mexico State or stay here. I mean,
you're
great.
Like,
but
sure
I'm like, you have to get out of New Mexico, especially because it is so insular. Like everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
And so you are kind of expected to, I mean, that was like the biggest thing I ever did was just move away.
Yeah.
It was so simple. And now I do kind of, my aunt pointed out to me once, she was like, so many people couldn't do that. And to me, it wasn't a big deal, but she's like, you literally went knowing one person. Like when I moved to Denver, I knew one person, but I didn't think of it like that. I thought of it as like this amazing world.
Sure.
I wasn't scared.
When did you move to Denver?
I think it was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was 21. You know, but so same with LA. I knew one person here.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, I met you. Like I meet so many people just by being a person in a new place and having new experiences. So it's incredibly important to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so many people just don't leave. And I feel like, what would could your life have been?
Yeah.
Like if I stayed, what would my life be? I don't even know.
I know.
A vintage
Again, all
store?
Due respect to somebody who feels happy about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do wonder about those experiences. I mean, it's hard. It is, again, it's sort of like you'll just never know if you're not one, whichever one you are, you'll never know.
The other side.
Right.
Yeah. And I know some
so
people look at me with like, when I go back, like high school reunions or something, I feel like I look like that cool, like, oh, you live in LA and your life looks so cool and you're always doing so many things. But then I know some people are like, how do you do that? Like, you don't have like a 9-to-5 job. You don't have your family around. So I understand needing that structure and needing that comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And something you've known your whole life.
And you do go back home a lot. I mean, I don't go back to Arizona, which is closer
nearly as often as
you do. But sometimes are you always going back home there, or are you just going to, because you love New Mexico and there's other areas that you guys go?
No, I wish, but it always ends up being family.
Yeah.
Like I try to, like when I was just in town, like I said, my best friend, Sarah, came into town. And so that's why I went. And so she and I were like, let's do a day in Santa Fe. And like, we had like a whole thing, but then it ended up getting so busy because people were like, meet us here for lunch. And then her parents wanted to have dinner. And then I'm like, well, so we went for 1 hour. It was like, well, what's the point of that?
Oh, yeah,
so, but I always do that. I always think, let me go and take like a drive and go spend like 2 nights in Taos and then stop along the way, have random time. But
yeah,
I mean, I used to do that when I lived there, but now it's just so, cause you have such limited, you have a week and you've got to, everyone wants to see you and
Well, but then it becomes again, kind of doing something for other fulfill for something else, for someone else, than rather than for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you about your romantic life, if you don't mind, in high school. So, what, so by the time you were in high school, all of it, any
womp,
of it.
Womp.
what was your? I mean, I first of all, I'm going to assume already that you were friends with a bunch of different kinds of people because that is who you are to me.
Yes.
As somebody who would sort of flip between groups, as many of us who've done the podcast did.
Yeah.
But what was your kind of romantic life? Like, who did you have crushes on and did you have, you know, people you were actually dating and stuff?
Yeah. Well, I dated boys for a little bit, for like 2 years and then...
2 years of high school-ish?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I basically fully came out as a... raging lesbo.
By the way, listen, I don't know. One of the things that I love about you is that you are so demure, and then you say like you have such a demure countenance in terms of your physical size and the way that you present yourself and how graceful you are and stuff. And it makes me really happy every time you burst out with something like raging lesbo.
Yeah, let's
continue.
Keep the surprises in my puffy pants or whatever these are. I definitely dated. You know how that is. I think any time. Like I think now that I look back at it too is like I think like you say. I mean, I don't think I'm putting labels on something. Like now I've basically lived my life as a lesbian for the last 12 years, like literally when I basically came out.
Right.
And so I've only been with women, but really looking back at it, even in high school, I probably was interested in guys. It was just high school guys. Mm-hmm. And there's also this expectancy. Like I was with the more popular girls of the group because I was on varsity soccer and varsity tennis and this and that. So all of my friends, we all dated those boys. Mm-hmm. So I never really liked those boys. It was just expected to be with those boys. And mm-hmm. so like I was, and I just, but I never felt anything. And
oh,
so
you
then,
didn't.
So I mean,
because I've talked about this before. I talked about this with Cameron Esposito actually not too long ago.
Oh, funny.
Which is that just that, you know, it's not like kissing someone that you like, but you're not like mad about is unpleasant. It's just like, oh, this is nice. And maybe you do feel a little prickly something because you have hormones and your body's going like,
that's
this is a thing. And this is
so I guess
thing,
I felt something, but it was like
longing or do you feel, you know what I mean?
But yeah, you're like, young. Like you didn't know. Like it was that stuff where you would kiss a boy and then I'd go back to my girls and be like, I don't know if we did it right. Like, I don't know. Are you supposed to do tongue? Are you not?
Right.
Like you didn't know if you were making a mistake or not, or if that person's going to judge you. And in reality,
and also, I feel like there's nervousness
it's their
and
first
heart pounding and
everything.
Everything's, you know, sort of having that because it's like
it's a first it's a new thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's a social situation.
About,
so it's like your heart pounding. Does that mean you're really into this person, or does it just mean that like this is awkward and weird because this person's mouth is coming close to yours and stuff?
So looking back, I mean, yeah, I think I liked it, but at the same time, I wasn't. Now that I think about it, like being with a woman as an older, as an adult with experience, you can tell the difference of that.
Right.
You know, absolutely. And so I think I did. It was just then I suddenly was just like I had a crush on a girl. And then I kind of just thought like, I think I also use this, which is so silly when I look back at it. But you know, when you're in high school or any of that time, you want to find something that's going to really make yourself different.
Mm.
And so I really jumped into being gay because I was like, yeah, this makes me so different.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to which is great.
You know that that's still different. Like that's an unusual choice though
for
a lot of people.
But I think also for me, I really was like, I felt like it was the right time and it was okay. And I kind of wanted to push the envelope a little bit because I felt like, no, which it sounds so silly to like, I hate to have to hide behind this, but there were some gay people at my school already, but they were real butch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were already kind of targets and not like nobody at my high school was like mean or anything like that. There was never any like anti-gay, like homophobia or anything, but you could tell that they were gay. And somehow, because I don't look like that and I'm really feminine, I really thought, hey, I can use this because nobody,
I'm glad you did.
But yeah, I am too. But in high school, it became that like conversation, which also gave me like, not popularity, but I was the center of attention more because then boys at parties would be like, you really gay, you know, or whatever, which made me even more determined.
What a waste.
Right. But then it would make me more determined to be like, yeah, man, I like boobs, you know, like ridiculous. But looking back at it, I mean, and which is great. And I'm happy I did that. And that was part of my identity and all of that. But looking back now, it's like, I don't think I'm gay or straight. Like, I just like a person, mm-hmm. but then it kind of just fell into it. And so mm-hmm. now I've been gay this whole time, because then you get into a relationship with a woman and then another one. And then
yeah,
now I've been in a 6-year relationship. So there you go.
I know.
Like, well, that's so funny, because that's how I think a lot of, like, sort of, again, with labeling sort of bi straight people, right. or, you know, however you want to look at that, it's, there is a certain amount of like, well, this is, again, you're absolutely right. Culturally yeah. and socially, it's like, this is how, we talked about that. Yeah, I was yeah. like, I know how to be in a long-term relationship with a man, right. and I've never been successful right. at that with a woman.
Right.
And so it becomes almost the adult version of the thing that you felt when you were a teenager, just kissing for someone for the first time, which was like, right. oh God, there's so much to, there feels like there's a lot to navigate about that
right.
in a social context that does affect maybe where you let your heart go.
Right.
And I'm excited for there to be less and less of that as we advance further and further culturally
yeah, yeah.
and sociologically. Into, you know, kind of less gender biases and you know, all the sort of movement of movement forward of LGBT rights and all those kind of good things.
Yeah.
And I guess I should add QIE in there too, right? QIA.
Yeah.
I just came back from a Comic-Con that was very focused in sort of world.
Yeah.
but yeah, to be in a place where it doesn't feel like it's the sort of like the record skips and you have to go like, oh yeah, how do I adjust? Because there's also a lot of kind of community stuff that happens too, I think, with
right.
like a lot of my gay friends have a lot of gay friends and
right.
and a lot of my straight friends have a lot of straight friends. And yeah, I don't
which
know.
Is great, because yeah, times are changing and everybody's yeah. getting, you know, more comfortable with it, and it doesn't matter anymore. I think there is a spectrum, and Kinsey was right. He was onto something.
Boy, he was really right. It's so funny how much we like talking about him, but I don't think that any of it really gets put into any kind of real accepted practice.
No, I know.
You know, it still feels like it's like,
yeah,
it still feels like it's like you're gay, you're straight, or you're in the middle, and that means you like sex too much.
Right. It's true.
Which is a bummer.
Which is so funny. Yeah. I know. Because yeah, it should just be about people. And
yeah.
Because I think everyone does have that spectrum, absolutely. And if you, you know, and some people are just real straight, and that's okay. That's mm-hmm. great, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people are real gay.
Yeah,
that's okay too. You know. Yeah.
Well, so when you came out, and when you sort of, you know, you said you kissed the girl and stuff. Did you start having relationships, like, or did you like? What was your sort of your moment where you were like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to come out and I'm going to say, was it because you were dating someone specific, or were you like actually single
I was,
and came out?
I was a busser at a pizza restaurant.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love everything I'm hearing.
What right? Not like, yeah, not mm-hmm. Domino's, not mm-hmm. Pizza Hut, but like a, you know, a nice sophisticated place. Uh-huh. And there were a few waitresses there who
you
were like.
You never worked at your family's restaurant?
No. Yeah. There were a lot of, you have to wear senorita poofy tops. I wasn't.
That's not you.
Wasn't all about that.
That's
no.
not you.
And I didn't have the big bangs, though. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no, I was working at this restaurant and there was just a few women there who were gay, and I was just like very interested in them and like really like wanted. And again, it wasn't necessarily like even a sexual thing yet. It was just I like liked how they looked. I liked how all of that kind of stuff that mm-hmm. you just start realizing, like struggling with your identity. Is that like how I want to dress? Is that like all of that? So mm-hmm. then I just kind of started hanging out with them and realized I really liked this group more and fit in. And I still didn't even really know if it was sexual. It was just, you know, because at that time I hadn't had sex, so I didn't mm-hmm. know what the hell anything was.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I just kind of started hanging out that crew more, and then developed crushes and realized, oh, this is a crush. This isn't, I want to dress like that person. It's
right.
I want to make out with this person and scissor all night long. Like, you know,
that's God bless you.
What that was.
Oh, wonderful.
Which I still don't know is a thing, by the way. So anyone out there can explain scissoring, because I've tried and I've pulled my groin. Wasn't good. That's a true story also.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but so, you know, we kind of started like that.
I just need to process all yeah. that wonderful,
it's
wonderful
fine. You can
stuff.
Listen to it later. Think about yeah. it. Yeah, and so I slowly came out to like my friends. Like I think, you know, as everyone does, I first started like my friends and I actually still have it. I was looking at it recently. But my friends and I had these notebooks and we had each other's locker combinations. So we would write, like we tried to do every period, like that was going to be, it never was. But, you know, we'd write one page of a note and then the next page would be the next person and the next page. And we put the little books back and forth in our locker all the time. And so one of them actually was like a whole thing of this guy dated Jalen and like how we were making out and like whatever, and like little stories about it. And then it goes, but all of them of course are like, yo Amy Kins, what's up, you know, like that kind of stuff. And
naturally.
Then it's like Jalen and I naturally. Made out in the back, whatever, you know, so ridiculous. We were at the Matrix and that was one of them. And but then the next one was just kind of like, so what do you think if I'm bi, catch you later, like And she was just like, bye, like ladies. And I'm like, yeah, what do you think? She's like, whatever. And I'm like, cool. But it was so like nonchalant. Uh-huh. But I kind of thought that was, I'm sure she didn't think I was serious. Uh-huh. And that was kind of my way.
Yeah.
So then I took that as like, oh, she gave me permission. Mm-hmm. I can now be insane. And then I just was like, super basically was coming out to everyone. And you know how high school is, I told one person and then everyone.
Sure.
Of course knew. And of course at that point again I needed to own it, I felt like. So I really just like went with it. And
did you date anyone at school?
Not really. I mean, it kind of got around. So then there was definitely times at parties where people were like, you know, I remember this one girl who I'm still friends with, which is really funny because we're not good friends now. She lives in Germany. But I remember once, like, you know, it was just, and again, this was really before I even had sex. So I think a lot of these girls had had sex with guys, so they knew what they liked, and mm-hmm. I really didn't. And mm-hmm. so I didn't know really anything. It was just, I was the gay girl all of a sudden. So I remember being at a party and like one of my friends was just like super drunk and she's like, so do you go down on chicks? Like, will you go down on me in the party? And I'm like, what? No. But like to me, it like made me embarrassed. And like, I was just like, I don't really even know what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, what? You know, but she clearly was experienced at that point and yes, knew what she yes, was like, indeed. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh.
Oh, wow.
But so yeah, there was definitely that. And then I did date a girl for a little bit who was a year older than me. And that was like, that was kind of my first like real heartbreak kind of a thing mm-hmm. because she also was trying to figure it out and she was dating a guy and then like broke up with him for me. And but we were just more like cuddle buddies, watched Amelie every day and, like, that was like our soundtrack of love and, like would drive around the mountains listening to the Amelie soundtrack and you know that kind of stuff and like made out every now and again but mm-hmm. never really. And then of course she like called me one day, is like, I can't see you anymore. And I'm like, why? And she's like, my boyfriend's in the room. And like would cry and be like, I have to get back with him and like that kind of thing. And then that was like on and off for a while.
Yeah. Did that create a, and I'm bringing this up, and I, again, this is like, I feel like I don't want to harp on this too much, but there is that, there's certainly that conversation that gets had with like sort of bi curious people or even gay curious people that's like, watch out for that one. They might just end up with a person, you know what I mean? They might go back to the, like, which is, by the way, there's a reason that exists because it happens.
It happens, yeah. I was going to say,
all the time. I know that.
I think at first I had that, and I still kind of do. I think at a certain age, for sure, because I feel like people don't really know themselves that well yet until they can really communicate it. So obviously I was probably 17, she was 18, and she also came from kind of like a Christian family. Like she was going with her feelings, and then in the end of the day, she ended up what was in her mind. And I still actually feel like she still made the wrong, because now she got married and that was a whole thing. So I ran into her a few years ago.
Interesting.
And she tried again and we were like adults and then she still was like, no, I can't do this, I'm gonna get engaged and married. I'm like, well, I mean, clearly making a mistake, but it's fine, you know. And so that's her choice and all of those things. And so I do feel like there is that does come with it a little bit, because I think a lot of women or lesbians have gotten hurt that way, like time and time again. But then I know a lot of women who always have told me now, like still friends, that are like, oh, I'm totally into this girl, I'm super falling in love. I'm like, well, who is she? Well, she's straight. And you're like, well, I mean,
yeah.
And so you can have fun, but you guys really have to understand and communicate and know who's there, because someone's going to get hurt. Yeah. And we know it's going to be the lesbian. And so unfortunately, like,
sometimes not.
Let's be real. Yeah. Sometimes no, not. I know. No, I know.
But yeah, I know. I know. Again, it's like, it gets really tricky when you realize stereotypes exist, because there's a certain behavior that repeats itself and you don't know exactly why or when that will change.
And of course, not always. I've heard stories of women that, that are doing that. And then they're like, you know what? This is for me. Like, I experimented with this woman and, or maybe it isn't even sexual. And they are like, I fell in love with this person.
Right.
So I'm going to break up with this other person.
Right.
Whatever. And someone's going to, of course, get hurt. But that's what life is, and learning and sexuality and relationships, all of that. That's
absolutely
what it is. So.
No. You're absolutely right. Oh my God. I can't believe, boy, that flew by. We were almost at an hour. So I'm going to get into this MASH game with you, because I'm very excited about the answers I'm going to get.
Boy.
This is good, because I always like when a guest makes a lot of their categories clear to me without even knowing that they're doing it.
Great.
So the first one that I want to get right into is, you can have a musical group or a person, you know, a singer, songwriter, whatever. Give me three, living or dead, that you wish that you could just like snap your fingers and they're in front of you and they like play whatever you want. They play like a live song.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood.
Together?
Yeah.
Great.
Peter, Paul, and Mary. Although I am seeing Peter at McCabe's April 18th.
Oh, that's great.
I'm very excited. When Maria told me, I burst out crying, but I can't. Mary's dead, so I can't see her. But I intend to do a duo with him on stage. I'm pretty sure I'm just going to run McCabe's stage. You've seen it. There's no security. Yeah. It's fine.
I love what I'm hearing. I love what I'm hearing. I need more information about when hopefully I'm in town for this.
Right.
Great.
And then I think Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, good one. Great. Love them.
Just don't tour anymore.
Love them. Okay. Next category is you can go back in time to any era and place in the world and visit there. And it's a positive experience. You don't have to worry about like, I'm going to get tetanus or like, I'm going to be burned at the stake or anything like that. It's a most positive version of what's interesting to you about an era and a place.
Okay. 1964 Paris, the Ye girls movement, basically.
Okay.
Want to see all that. I think like, I don't even know why, but like English 1700s,
mm-hmm.
just because I want to see what's really under those wigs. How much vice is really there?
That's great. Okay.
And I don't know, somewhere in the 40s, but no, 20s. 20s, like okay. Bulgaria.
Ooh, yeah. All right. Okay. Now I'm going to do this because this is a good opportunity for us to talk about May Day, because I really wanted to make sure to get a serious shout out to May Day and to encourage you guys to help spread the word about the specific dog rescue that Natalie started, which is here in Los Angeles. This is going to be a category of three sort of alternate universe careers. Obviously, I know that you'll have some,
right.
but will you tell me a little bit more about May Day and like how people can get involved and stuff?
Yes, we need volunteers. But we're on Facebook at May Day Rescue.
May Day Rescue on Facebook.
Instagram
and
is also
MAE.
Yeah, Day.
Day
Rescue.
M-A-E
so
day.
Like
and it's
May,
one
like
word,
the name.
MAEDAY Rescue.
Yep. And our website's maydayrescue.com. Instagram is May Day Rescue. And yeah, like she said, May, like the name, like May West, MAE. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always need volunteers. We always need fosters. So if you're in the LA area and you have a house and you're capable to walk around the block, then we could use you because we take care of all the food, all the vet bills. You pay nothing. We just literally need a house and someone to give some loving care. Even if it's for 2 days, sometimes we're in a super emergency and we just need to place the dog somewhere because we're still growing. So we don't have a facility. I don't really want to spend money on boarding. And some people do boarding and that's great, but that's not the point for me. I don't want to save a dog from a scary situation like a shelter or the street and then just put them in another cage somewhere.
Right,
so
right.
I really want it to be a house or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, so even if it's 2 days, that gives me two more days to find another place for it.
Sure.
And, you know, I give everything to a thunder shirt if the dog's nervous and rescue remedy to a crate to all the supplies. And most of our dogs get adopted probably some we've had seniors that we've had them for like 6 months, but our average rate is probably 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you can do 1 week, then but we always need everything, even sharing, even liking all of our Facebook and Instagram, all that helps because we have a lot of different sponsors like BarkBox who sends us a box, you know, every month for the mm-hmm. dogs. But the more likes you get on Instagram or Facebook, they give you more things basically,
which
is great. So again, just like away and follow us on everything. That's a big
what
deal.
About the
oh and Twitter. I'm on Twitter. I just forget to use it.
Okay.
I'm not very good at it. I really like
Instagram
pictures.
I see all the time.
Yeah, I'm a huge Instagram person. So I try to do my Instagram to Twitter, but I still don't get Twitter. Maybe the young kids out there can explain it to me.
They can. I guarantee you they can.
Great.
And then what the book?
Oh, yeah. So then we just did a rescue book that's called Rescue 68, which is coming out. We're doing a big event for it May 2nd. It's going to be in the Hollywood Hills, the party. And it's basically, I had an idea where when I started May Day, I like love animals, but I also love vintage fashion and I also love design. And I think there's a lot of animal rescues out there, which they're great. They're all doing the same thing I'm doing, but I get stuck on design and that sounds so silly. But if I go to a website that's like, doesn't make sense and it's not user friendly and it's ugly or it's just not appealing to me, I just get bored, right? So it's like, these are animals that unfortunately you also have to market in mm-hmm. a cute way. So mm-hmm. I basically went and saved 30 dogs from shelters. Like the day they were dying, I basically kind of called up and was like, what's happening? Who's getting put down today? And I went and got those dogs, and then which was a whole thing, so I had to clearly find places for them and all that. So besides all that,
I know you worked so hard.
It was very difficult, but it was great. It worked out. And then we paired them with celebrities, which was fantastic because this was my first book, so clearly it wasn't like George Clooney, but
right.
Our biggest celebrity was probably Jane Lynch. And then we got a lot
phenomenal.
Of comedians, which was amazing. Got a lot of woman comedians. All of a sudden we have like Michaela Watkins, Mo Collins, Sandy Martin, Beth Grant, Allison Dunbar, who's mm-hmm. fantastic. yeah, a lot of people like that. And then, you know, one of our friends, Jeff Parise, who's on General Hospital, to like Tina Wang, who's on Rizzoli and Isle. So like a lot of people like that, that are just great, fantastic, strong people and familiar faces. So, mm-hmm. And then the whole shoot was styled 60s style. So there's
so
like the bouffants and
it was
great. Enraged. And Aunt Janet was supposed to be, but she was out of town.
I was either out of town or I was shooting.
You might have been on set. Yeah. You might have been on set. Yeah.
Oh God, I'm so weird.
But yeah. And so we're hoping to do one every year. That's kind of the goal. So it'll also just be our thing that people know. So Rescue 68, we just named it like that because I kind of wanted it like Brazil, you know, Sergio Mendez and Brazil 66. I wanted to be like Natalie Garcia and, but it didn't work out. So it's just Rescue 68. And then each year we're going to do a different kind of one. So like, I do want to do like awkward family photos with the dogs. That way, if the dogs don't even sit still, they can be floating in the air, right? And like looking awkwardly.
Yeah.
So then that could be like Rescue 84 or like whatever.
Mm-hmm. Great.
God, and they might not be in order, but yeah. So hopefully we can get more celebrities. And the great thing is a lot of these, I mean, these people donated all their time, all the hair donated their time, makeup donated their time. And so now that we're going to have the event, I mean, hopefully the people who were involved in the book will all be there. I don't know if they will be. Jane Lynch hasn't confirmed. Just saying. Jane, if you're listening. So hopefully we'll get more of those people and they'll tell their friends and we'll get more celebrities next time.
I think it's great because it's a great example, and then we'll continue this mash game, but it's a great example of, because I always say, especially when I do conventions and people sort of ask about, you know, how do you figure out what your path is or how did you get to where you are when they ask me that. I just love when I get to see somebody creative figuring out ways to involve a lot of their passions in one thing or in, you know, to be able to like be diversified, but also be able to say, well, you know what, this is this other thing I love. And I realize that I could totally fold it in this really unique way that helps the cause that I'm part of.
Absolutely.
You know, that's so cool.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying.
Exciting. So let's pretend in your alternate universe. So everything continues on with Mayday.
Great.
But in alternate universes, you have three other careers, imaginary careers. What would they be?
Vintage shop.
Yeah, baby. You know, I was waiting for that.
Obviously. A rice pudding shop. Always wanted to have. Always wanted to have an organic rice pudding place.
I love it.
Like super cool.
So specific and great. I knew you would come up with brilliance.
And what else? All of them are like shops. That seems so insane because I don't know how to like work for someone else. So
I get it.
Actually an interior designer.
Yeah,
I would love that.
God, you and I.
But vintage.
I know.
Only.
God, I really.
That's actually something I want to start.
This is one of those podcasts where people are like, we get it. You're friends with each other.
Yeah, right.
There's a good reason. We're hearing all of the reasons that you guys get along. Okay. Next category will be let's say three places anywhere in the world where you have vacation home. You can have a vacation home.
Somewhere in Colorado. I don't know where it'd be.
Yeah, I do love Colorado.
I love Colorado. Italy, like probably the coast by wine.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe like Merida or Cozumel, somewhere in like a small town in Mexico where I can pick up a lot of strays, but be on the ocean and not see anyone for miles.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. Anyway, you're a hero. Okay. Next category is three people, not unlike the people that we just talked about that are musicians, but they are musicians for you in your life and musicians only. Three people, living or dead, who you can sort of call up with a problem and be like, listen, and they love you. You know, they're like a mentor to you.
Kathy Bates. Because I literally have reoccurring dreams that she and I are sitting on a porch drinking sun tea, and I like tell her my life, and then I like start over in the next dream. Sometimes they're months apart, but then I'll start where I left off every time, which I'm a little terrified about.
You and I, can the four of us, because you know that that
third
person for me is Emma Thompson.
Oh,
and I feel that Kathy Bates, Natalie Garcia, Janet Varney, Emma Thompson, hangout, is like the coolest thing in the world
as a podcast.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, I'm a little nervous. Do you ever think of this? Because I feel like if I run into Kathy Bates, I'm going to immediately be like, hey, like we're best friends.
For sure.
But she's going to be like, who the hell?
Yeah. No, these guys know, but I saw Emma. I was in the same room for the first time as Emma Thompson ever. And only this one time at the screening for that. Now I'm going to forget everything. The Walt Disney movie that just came out, that was where she played the woman who wrote the original Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Yeah. Mrs.
And she came out and did, and was part of this Q&A, and I didn't know there was going to be a Q&A. It was a surprise.
Right.
And she came out, and I had to leave. And I know that that sounds psychotic.
Right.
And I live in a world where I meet celebrities all the time. I have very close right. friends who are very, very famous.
Right.
But I do love her so much that I was very aware of how much I love her. And I was very aware that she has no idea who I am.
Right.
And I'm crazy for thinking that we would be friends.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't sit in a theater as one of 100 people and watch her talk and think to myself, she doesn't give a shit who I am.
Right.
She has no idea who I am. And I literally was like, I have to leave.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's how I feel like I'm going to be with Peter and Paul. Like, I feel like I was literally thinking about this the other day in my car. Of like,
it's such
just
a
talking,
relief to hear the other people.
And I
go
started crying.
This.
And I'm like, I can't be. And somehow it also puts me in this weird position because, again, a lot of these people are a lot older and they don't understand. Like, I wasn't there. And right. so when they see me, they just see me as like a kid.
I know.
And so I'm like, you don't. You want to like
be
I
seen
was
as
there.
An equal, no matter what, whether you're the same
right.
age, whether you're not, you aren't famous, but they are famous.
Right. Absolutely.
You want to be thought of as like, we're well, on it, even ground.
It does
here.
Suck because just because people are famous, a lot of times, like, say I met somebody like through you at a party, but then I saw them out and they weren't famous. They were just right. a person, or yeah. I just knew that you
could
knew
totally
them.
Be like,
you
"Hey, could, buddy, what's
right.
up?"
Or you
and
could just
when
be like,
famous,
"Don't you know Janet Varney?"
I know.
But if I know one of your celebrity friends that I saw at in public, I couldn't go up to them and be like, "Hey, you know my friend Janet?" Like they would look at you like, "Yeah." And would they? Maybe they wouldn't.
Maybe they wouldn't. It's so
but
hard
But you
to
don't know.
Know.
And then it becomes this weird thing. Just because you think you're creative and like we should hang out because we have stuff in common.
Yeah.
Why is that bad?
I know.
But all of a sudden it is.
I know.
So yeah.
I really get it. I get it. And I think but that
Emma Thompson.
Might happen to me at conventions. Like I'm that person.
Right.
But then I just, that's my number one goal is to just diffuse that immediately and be like, no,
Good.
No, no. I'm a total dork.
Right.
Please don't think that I'm sitting on the other side of this table acting like I'm the princess of the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, Kathy Bates, love it, love it. Couldn't support it more. Get it 100%. I want it to happen. Next.
Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying like all of my idols right now.
No, it's
and
this is what I would want too. I would totally put Diane on this list. Are you kidding?
Julie Andrews, even though I've met her.
I would put her on there too.
What? You know, I've met her in her kitchen.
God, you what?
And actually did talk to her about my life because I was... Like, I'm here. I've got to do this. It's my dream.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was great.
You lucky duck.
I was very lucky. I know. My friend was her personal chef and basically called me up one day and said, hey, we need people to help serve wine tonight. And I was like, okay. She's like, I'll give you $500 and then Julie will give you a tip probably. I'm like, a tip? Like, talk to her in her nightgown? That's fine. Yeah.
Like, here's how to live your life.
Yeah, basically. Oh,
my God.
It was amazing.
I love that you got to
chat. And there was nothing exciting. She literally was just like, have you fed the dog, Natalie? Do you mind getting it some wet food? I'm like, yes. Yeah, say my name again. Say it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I get it. I love all these choices
Julie.
With all my heart and soul. Fantastic. Okay. The next one is now I'm going to just stay in this. Now I'm going down the celebrity road, but, and your partner is hands down one of my favorite humans on the planet.
Yay.
And has been since I met her. I do not see either of you enough. And I want you
it's
to know
true.
That there are people that I don't see often enough that I'm like, oh, I don't see them enough. And then there are people who are like, I'm upset that I don't see them enough.
Oh,
and that
thanks.
Is how I feel about you guys.
Yeah. That way too.
I feel
we always
it.
Mention
like, I
you.
Feel,
but
I feel your absence. I miss you. It's not like a when I can see them, I do.
Right.
Like I feel the absence, and I don't like it. But
yeah, well, good. We need it. We should do like an iCal chain exchange
yeah.
so we can see our dates that were available.
Yeah, we really should because that's the other thing that happens is we're always gone at different times.
Right.
Now, all of that being said,
yes,
this is a fictitious world.
Great.
It is the game of MASH.
Great.
So I need three people. From any time, any place. Could even be fictional people. Could be like this person, this character in this movie or this character in this book or this cartoon.
Okay.
Could be a fling. Could be alternate universe marriage. You can pick and choose as you like. Three people.
Jude Law. Mm-hmm. Sounds so ridiculous, but yes.
I felt that way about him for quite some time.
See?
Also.
Yeah, there's something about him. Who else do I think is super hot? I think a lot of people. I'm going to get in trouble with my mind here.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Sizzling.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
You laugh so hard. Oh, great choice.
I mean, she's...
Oh, great choice.
I don't even think, yeah. If I saw her in person, too, I'd be like, hi, do you want to make out right now?
For
like,
me,
it would just come out.
I think for me, like, for me as a younger person, seeing this movie, not when it came out, but years and years later... I wanted to be in a bed with John Malkovich and Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Liaisons more than life itself.
Yeah,
I wanted
amazing.
To be in that boudoir.
Yeah,
in that movie, Dangerous Liaisons. I wanted it all. Like
that completely
that was,
makes sense. Yeah,
that was like the sexiest thing I could possibly imagine.
That's super hot.
Anyway,
yeah.
Please continue.
And then I think like who am I thinking? Like, I don't don't know, like one of the 60s guys I love, but mm-hmm. all of them are like not like the Rolling Stones, but mm-hmm. you know, there's so many bands back there that I feel like I would have been like a total groupie.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
would have been like, whatever.
I mean, do we need to go straight up Beatles? Do we need to go no. Sergio? Do we need to go
no.
Rat Pack? Do we need to go...
No, like, not the Herman's Hermits, but because I've met Peter Noon recently. Uh-huh. And it's not good. Uh-huh. he's great, but...
what about a Monkey?
Yeah, maybe a Monkey. I don't know. Or you know who? What? You know what?
Yeah.
It's got me there.
We got there.
It's going to be horrible. Mr. Brady.
That's so great. God, that's great.
Mike Not Brady. The boys.
Mike Brady.
The actual.
I've never actual enjoyed dad. An answer more than Mike Brady.
I mean, that's hard kind of beat. Would be because I guarantee you he like acts like it's okay, Carol, yeah. but I guarantee you in bed he's going to like. Put you where he wants to. It's going to be amazing. God.
You know what's yeah. funny is that I would extend that to Gary Cole, who played Mr. Brady right. in the like right. send up movie.
And I would extend
I have
to,
such a crush on him, and I yeah. met him during Veep. I just think he's so great. Anyway, so
I would extend that, it to Alice too. Why not?
That's great.
Alice and the butcher together.
That's great.
And I'm the middle. I'm the oh, meat God. In the butcher plan in that sandwich.
Just wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Okay. Next category is I stick it in here every time. I don't know if this is going to do it for said. You or if it won't. That's what she said. Three foods that have no negative ramifications on your body whatsoever can be very specific as like there's this one thing somewhere that I can't eat anymore, or I can still eat it, but I can only eat it rarely, or it could be, you know, cupcakes, all cupcakes, anything like that. Three.
Sushi.
I mean, that's not really that. Well, I guess with the mercury.
Oh, so it's supposed to be bad for me?
Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that you can have as much as you want that's like, normally you wouldn't be able to because there's something about that's too decadent or it makes you too gassy or makes you too drunk. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Sushi's great. No, keep sushi.
Okay.
You love it. You want as much as you can have.
I love
that's
sushi.
An answer.
I eat it all
real
the time.
Answer.
Yeah. But yeah. I guess sushi to me is like the whole thing, like the beer,
yeah,
all of that. Like, okay. I would so eat that every meal. Night if I could. Right.
Yep.
Which my friend actually got mercury poison, so that's why I don't do that
got
anymore.
It. No, this
and
is
it's
great.
Really expensive.
This is great.
And all that.
I'm sorry in any way that I
actually maybe sushi in Japan because okay. I can't, you know, I've never mm-hmm. been there, but right. I can imagine I've had really good sushi at this one place in San Francisco where it melted in my mouth, and I can imagine that it would be like that.
Yes.
In Japan. Yeah. Anything I want? I think a milkshake, like a malt. Mm,
yeah.
Because they hurt my belly, but
yeah,
I like
too.
Them so much and I just want to keep having them.
Perfect.
Oh, so bad for me, but I can't eat them and I haven't since I was like five. Funnel cake from the
God,
fair.
Yeah.
Straight
I
up.
I feel that way about Indian fry bread.
Mm.
Yep. These are great. This is what this is for. Well, in this world, you can have it whenever you want with
funnel
no ramifications.
Cake while I'm watching Nancy and Lee open for Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes. Maybe.
Best time ever.
Maybe. We got to find out. We're going to have
Jesus.
To do the math in just a second.
I'm so nervous.
The final category for you. This is tricky. We're getting down to it. Three looks that you could rock that are more complicated or uncomfortable than you can get into on a regular basis now, but it could be like you have a mohawk for a day or you get to wear the 1700s clothes, but it's not uncomfortable whenever you want. And it's natural, like no one questions it or whatever. Three looks that are like too extreme to do on a regular basis, but it would be really fun if they were fun and easy and you could just snap into it.
60s mod,
great.
But like, you know, the whole... Yeah, not fun and easy. Like the big earrings that really hurt and the haircuts.
And like
the
false eyelashes that would take forever to
right.
pull.
Like,
I would never put them on, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like Iggy.
60s mod, great.
Yeah, probably like a 1700s, like kind of Cinderella-esque outfit,
mm-hmm,
like the corset and the whole thing, just to feel it and see it in the big dress.
Yep.
What else? Doesn't have any... So funny how your mind stops you because then automatically I'm like, well, that would hurt my feet because of my bunions.
But it wouldn't. That's match,
that
baby.
That is the match. Yeah, look at that.
This is the time to set those feelings free.
Right. Set them free. I guess like a... I don't even know. Jeepers. This is such a hard question.
I got to tell you, this like question, when I ask it, nothing has ever made itself more clear to me than I secretly want to be a drag king because every place I go is menswear.
Funny.
Every time.
That's so funny.
Like I'm like, well, I would want to have a custom suit,
funny.
Sherlock Holmes era, like a three piece, like a vest
right.
and a nice like pocket watch
and
or
funny.
Like I would want to wear like, you know, a skinny suit with a skinny tie and sort
funny,
of have
yeah.
like a Rick Ocasek's body
right,
for some
totally.
Reason. Like
that's
I
so
clearly
funny.
I'm really.
And mine just eras.
Yeah.
I think I would like a nice, like really high fashion 40s Vogue outfit.
Oh, great. Now, I can get on board with 40s attire because a lot of it's masculine.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
I'm a feminine girl, too, so I don't really know. Okay.
Clearly not.
evidently not. This is all great. I'm very excited about what these answers are going to be. I just need you to tell me when to stop.
Are you doing it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just...
I mean, do I have to tell you stop soon?
Yeah.
Stop.
Okay. I'm going to have to count a lot of loops here because of the way I did this. So what I have to do is pause this, do some calculations.
Okay.
Come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Listen, this is great. No surprise there. Where am I going to start? First of all, I'm going to start by telling you that you have a vacation home, which I guess it doesn't sound like that much vacation to me, but it does. Hopefully you'll get some downtime too. But you have a house on a beach in a small town in Mexico.
Yay!
You can rescue a lot of dogs.
That's a real
but
dream.
But you can also be chill.
Fantastic.
That's good because it's sort of, you know, that's the kind of thing that kind of reconnects you with May Day in this fictitious MASH world. You can drink as many malt or milkshakes as you want whenever you want them. They're not going to hurt your tongue.
In Mexico?
Sure.
Oh.
Sure.
It'll be even this is where, less when, hurtful there.
How you want it. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
I want to congratulate you on your alternate universe interior design business as well.
Oh, thank you.
I think that's spectacular.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to congratulate you on, boy, now I'm getting down to like the stuff I'm extra excited about that I'm holding on to. For sure you can. Oh, yeah. You're going to head back to the Bulgaria in the 20s. Very specific.
Yes.
I wonder what you'll find. I'm excited for you to report back.
Yes.
And also you have this ability to just suddenly be very comfortable in this fantastic 40s attire.
Fantastic.
Now
I'm way ahead of my time in the 1920s.
You really are. I mean, you're all over the place in a great way. Kind of makes sense. I want to congratulate you on your ability to at any time conjure up the great Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yes,
this thing for you, which I feel would be nice because I know it's a little weird to suddenly have three people in your bedroom when you're falling asleep.
Nope.
But like to have some lullabies from those guys.
Yeah,
come on, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know who else will be able to soothe you and hang out with you and just be wonderful? Kathy Bates.
What?
You got her.
No!
You got her. Congratulations.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
It almost makes telling you that you end up with Mike Brady less exciting, but they're both really exciting.
I end up with Mike Brady?
Yes.
This is so much better.
It's so good.
I might need the soothing lullabies after Mike Brady and I go
He's
at
just
it.
Go.
And then I have to tell Kathy Bates about our sex life.
I know. It's going to be great sitting on the porch in a small town in Mexico.
Oh, I'm
There's
so.
A bunch of dogs you've rescued run by on the beach.
This is the best fantasy I've ever
drinking
had.
Drinking milkshakes. It's fantastic. Natalie, thank you so much for doing the podcast. Again, why don't you just again say Mayday Rescue? This is where you guys can find out more about it. You can go to maydayrescue.com. M-A-E-D-A-Y rescue.com. Follow Mayday Rescue on Instagram.
Facebook,
Twitter.
Like it. Follow
look
us.
For the book, Mayday 68. Just
Rescue
68. Sorry, everybody.
All right.
Rescue 68. Mm-hmm. It's not out yet. It will be.
Will be.
Very soon, like in a few weeks.
Yep, a few weeks.
I'll put it on the podcast.
Thank you.
Intro. I'll talk about it on the intro when it comes out, and I'll also post about it on Facebook. But that wraps it up, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And stay tuned for our new podcast of design, music.
That's right. I know.
Vintage clothes soon, everyone.
With our best friends, Kathy Bates and Emma Thompson. Duh. Guys, talk to you next time.
Yes. Bye.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.